إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this the 8th lecture, lecture number 8 from our series, based upon the essay of the great scholar Al-Alama Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah, which he has entitled A'lam As-Sunnah Al-Manshura Li'i'tiqad Al-Ta'ifa Al-Najiyah Al-Mansura. In this book, the Shaykh rahimahullah has discussed the i'tiqad of Al-Ta'ifa Al-Najiyah Al-Mansura. Yani, what is the creed or the aqidah or the belief of the people who strictly adhered to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and who were promised that they would be given support and victory in this world, as well as they would be of those who would escape from punishment in the next life. As we said on a number of occasions, he has used as the outline for this book the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is referred to by many of the scholars as the hadith of Jibreel, in which the angel Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked him about the levels of the deen of Allah. What is Islam, what is Iman, and what is Ihsan? Last week and the previous week, we discussed those matters which are related to Al-Iman, the pillars of Iman, the pillars of faith, and the first of them being believing in Allah, to have Al-Iman, belief or faith in Allah. And we said that this includes acknowledging the existence of Allah's divine being, His that. And likewise, it is the acknowledgement of the various aspects of At-Tawheed, Tawheed Ar-Rububiyyah, the Lordship of Allah, that Allah is the only creator and provider and the one who gives life and death. And the Tawheed of Ubudiyyah, that Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, that every type of worship, it is the right of Allah alone. And the third aspect is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, that is acknowledging or singling out Allah as being the only one that deserves the beautiful names that He has named Himself with in the Quran, or which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has named Him with, and those divine lofty characteristics or qualities which He has described Himself with, or which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described Him with. So in the light of this, we have talked about the Tawheed of Uluhiyya, or Tawheed Al-Ilahiyya, which is Tawheed Al-Ubudiyya, yani the Tawheed related to the worship of Allah alone, that Allah alone should be worshipped, that nothing else should be given or nothing else should be turned to with any act of worship that belongs to Allah alone. Last week we talked specifically about the opposite or the violation of Tawheed in Ilahiyya, the Tawheed in the that related to the right of Allah to be worshipped alone, and we said that the opposite of it, it is shirk, and the shirk is of two types, shirk akbar and shirk asghar. And we said that shirk akbar, it is major shirk which takes a person out of Islam, and shirk asghar, it is minor shirk which causes a defect or a deficiency in the tawheed, however it doesn't negate it totally or take the person out of Islam. And the Shaykh has given some examples of shirk asghar, that is ar-riya, yasir ar-riya, ostentation, when a person does something which should be done for the sake of Allah alone as an act of worship, and they beautify that act or they improve it because they want to be seen, or because they want to be praised, or because someone is watching them. And also he said, from those things which are acts of minor shirk, shirk asghar, is swearing by other than Allah, making an oath by other than Allah. Instead of swearing by Allah, swearing by the Kaaba, or swearing by something other than Allah. And he said also joining, or making a comparison, or making equality between Allah and the creatures, saying that if it was not for your will and the will of Allah, or it is your will and the will of Allah, if it wasn't for you and so and so. All of these things we said, that this type of speech, it is, these are acts of minor shirk. And he has given a number of examples. Then we talked about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, which is the Tawheed of the Lordship, that Allah is the Rabb. He is the Khaliq, the Creator, the Razik, the Provider. He is the one who gives life and death and controls the affairs of the universe. So this Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, he said it is to acknowledge with certainness that Allah is the Rabb, the Lord of everything, and the owner of it, and the creator of it, and the one who manages and arranges the affairs and controls the affairs of the universe. After this, we reach question number 50, which we want to discuss tonight, and it is related to the previous question number 49. It is, what is the opposite of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? If we know that Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, it is to single out Allah as being the only one that may be described or given credit for the control over the affairs of the universe, then what is the opposite of this Tawheed of Rububiyyah? The Shaykh, he says, it is the i'tiqad, or the belief, that a person has a belief or a conviction that there is someone or something else, mutasarrif, that has control over the affairs of the universe. That the belief that there is something or someone else along with Allah the Mighty and the Majestic that has control over the affairs of anything from the affairs of the control of the universe. Yani controlling anything of the affairs of the universe, to believe or to have the conviction that there is anyone or anything along with Allah in any of the matters of the control of the universe, then this is what we call yani shirk in rububiyyah, the belief that there is someone or something that shares with Allah His authority as the Rabb, as the Lord of the worlds, the Creator and the one who maintains the affairs of the universe. Then he mentions some of those things that are part of the rububiyyah, or the Lordship of Allah. He said, such as ijad, yani bringing something into existence, creating something, bringing something into existence that did not exist before. Yani ijad, it means to take something that is non-existent. Yani to make something from something that doesn't exist. Not to take something that is existing and reshape it or remold it, no. But to bring something into existence from nothingness. This is from the things that if anybody ascribes it to other than Allah, it is shirk in rububiyyah. Or the taking things out of existence, or giving life and causing death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that has the absolute authority to give life and to cause death. And no one can kill any life in this world except that Allah allows it, because Allah has power over everything. He said also, from amongst those things is attributing to other than Allah that someone has the ability to bring about good or to repulse evil or harm. And he said other aspects of rububiyyah, any other aspects of rububiyyah that are contained under this category of tawheed and rububiyyah, everything that violates it, whether it is in the matters of the providing for the creatures or giving life or causing death or controlling the affairs, anyone who believes that there's something or someone who has a share in the control of these affairs along with Allah, then this is the opposite of tawheed and rububiyyah, yani it is shirk in rububiyyah. Then he adds another matter here, which is also a part of the violation of Tawheed and Rububiyyah. He said, to believe that there is a one who can challenge or dispute or contest Allah in anything of the matters which are necessitated or which are the necessary result of the names of Allah and His characteristics. We mean by this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, that Allah is Al-Alim, for example. What is necessitated by this name is that Allah has knowledge of everything. And therefore Allah knows everything. Allah knows everything that has happened and that is happening and that will happen and so on. So those things which are the necessary result from the names of Allah or the characteristics of Allah, whoever believes that there is someone who can challenge or dispute or contest Allah in these things, that they can share with Allah, they can compete with Allah in these things, this is also a violation of Tawheed and Rububiyyah. He said, as an example of this, he said, like, yani believing that someone can challenge Allah in those things which are the necessary result of Allah's names and characteristics, like ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen. That only Allah has knowledge of the unseen. Whoever imagines that there is someone else who shares in that, then this is a violation of Tawheed and Rububiyyah. Likewise, he said, al-azama wal-kibriya, and other similar characteristics, yani the greatness or the majesty of Allah and the glory of Allah, that whoever imagines that there is someone who shares in these characteristics as they are attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is shirk in the tawheed of rububiyyah. And the shaykh mentions a large number of proofs dealing with this matter of shirk in rububiyyah and showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls all of the affairs of the universe. The first of what he has mentioned is from Surah Al-Fatir, chapter 35, verses 2 and 3, the saying of Allah, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلْ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. That whatever Allah opens or grants to the people of rahmah, whatever Allah gives to the people of rahmah, of mercy, then no one can hold it back. No one can hold back that which Allah has offered. And whatever Allah holds back, then there's no one who can grant it. There's no one who can give it after Him. Yani whatever Allah offers, nobody can stop it. And whatever Allah holds back, nobody can give it. Indeed, Allah is the mighty and the wise. Ya ayyuhan nas, udhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum, hal min khaliqin ghayrullah yarzuqukum min as-sama'i wal-ard. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the people, O mankind, remember the favor of Allah upon you. Yani the bounties of Allah that He has given, which are many, innumerable, and uncountable. He said, is there any creator other than Allah who provides you from the heavens and the earth? Is there any other creator that can give you of these bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us freely and continuously? Indeed, the question, it answers itself. Indeed, there's no one other than Allah. There's no other creator that can provide for the people or the creatures in the heavens or the earth. Then he mentions also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah to Yunus, chapter 10, verse 107. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْقَ اللَّهُ بِدُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He causes any harm or hurt to come to a person, to afflict a person, then there's no one that can uncover it or remove it except Allah. وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَ لِفَضْلِهِ. And if Allah wants that good come to somebody, then there's nobody who can reject it or repulse it or can push it away from them. Nobody can reject what Allah has given out of His bounty or His favor. Then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Zumr, chapter 39, verse 38. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here asking a question to cause the people to think. Have you seen that which they are calling upon besides Allah? Yani other than Allah, that which is less than Allah and everything is less than Allah. Have you seen or do you reflect upon and think about that which they are calling upon, they are supplicating to, they are seeking their needs to be fulfilled, those whom they are calling on or that which they are calling on other than Allah. In أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِدُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ دُرِّهِ. Yani if those things that they are calling on, if Allah wanted some harm to come to me, can those idols or those false gods, can they remove that harm that Allah wants for someone? Can they remove it? أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِهِ. Or if Allah wants to grant someone His rahmah, His mercy, can those things, those idols of false gods that the people are calling upon, can they hold back the rahmah of Allah that He wants to give to somebody? قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُتَوَقِّنِينَ. Then Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ to say that Allah is sufficient. And it is upon Allah that those, yani the true believers, those who put their trust, they put their trust in Allah alone. It is Allah alone whom we put our trust in and we rely upon and we depend upon. After that, he mentioned further ayats which talk about the knowledge of Allah, the comprehensive knowledge of Allah. From amongst those ayats, he mentioned a portion of the ayah from Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 59, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the keys of the unseen, the knowledge of the unseen. It is with Allah, and no one knows them except Him. Then he mentioned, likewise, from Surah Al-Naml, chapter 27, verse 65, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ illallah. That no one knows the ghaib, the unseen. No one in the heavens, nor in the earth knows the unseen except Allah. All of this is showing the power of Allah and the control of Allah over everything and the knowledge of Allah. That Allah's knowledge is comprehensive and complete and perfect, and there's no one who has knowledge like the knowledge of Allah. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 255, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. That they do not encompass anything of His knowledge, of the knowledge of Allah, except that which He wills. Allah gives from His knowledge to whomever He wills, as much as He wills, but no one has any of the knowledge that belongs to Allah except according to the will of Allah, He gives to whomever He wills. Then he mentioned from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that which is reported in the Sahih of Muslim, and in the Kutub al-Sunan, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah, the Most High, He will say, Al-Azamatu izari wal-kibriya'u rida'i, faman naza'ani wahidan minhuma askantuhu nari. That Al-Azama, yani magnificence and glory, it is the izar of Allah, it is my izar. Mean the izar, it is yani what is worn, that what the person wears as a lower garment. He said that Al-Azama, magnificence and glory, it is my izar. And Al-Kibriya, greatness and pride, it is my rida, the upper garment. Yani nobody should cover themselves with these things. Nobody should try to yani claim that they have a right to these things. He said, whoever contends with me in any one of these things, yani contending that they have greatness or magnificence or glory like Allah, he said, whoever contends with me in either of these things, then I will cause them to dwell in my fire. So this is also showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exclusive in His greatness and His glory and His power over everything in the creation, and that no one should describe themselves with these descriptions that belong to Allah alone. This is what the Shaykh has mentioned concerning Ar-Rububiyyah, yani what is Tawheed Ar-Rububiyyah, and what is the opposite of it, the violation of it. And after this, in question number 51, he talks about the last aspect of Tawheed, of the three aspects that he mentioned in the first question about Iman in Allah, that the Iman in Allah requires the acknowledgement of the existence of Allah and the various aspects of Tawheed. And the first two aspects of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Ilahiyya or Uluhiyya, that Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, is well known, even if it is violated by many of the Muslims today. Yani that many of the people are offering worship, some acts of worship to other than Allah. And the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, it was even known and acknowledged by the pagan disbelievers in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. They acknowledge that Allah is the Creator and He is the Lord of the worlds. But then they used to worship something along with Him. However, in this aspect of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Asma wa al-Sifat, It is an aspect of Tawheed that is not well known, even to many of the Muslims. And for this reason, it requires some attention. And it should be given attention so that one can understand it well, in order to know what are the rights of Allah in reference to the beautiful names that He has named Himself with, or those characteristics, those lofty characteristics which He has described Himself with. Here the Shaykh, he says in this question, what is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? What is this Tawheed that deals with the names and characteristics of Allah? He said, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, it is al-Iman bima wasafa Allah ta'ala bihi nafsahu fi kitabihi wa wasafahu bihi rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min al-Asma al-Husna wa Sifat al-Ula wa imraruha kama ja'at bila kayf. Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, as the Shaykh has described it here, rahimahullah, he said it is to have faith in all that Allah has described Himself with in His book, and what His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Him with, yani in the authentic hadith, in the sunnah, from those beautiful names and those lofty characteristics. Yani whatever we found in the Quran and whatever we found in the authentic sunnah, of names or characteristics or descriptions or qualities for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat requires that we believe in all of those things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He has a face, then it is only for us to believe it. It is our responsibility to believe it. He has described Himself in this way. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Allah with any characteristic, even if we as human beings don't understand the real nature of it, because the characteristics of Allah are divine, and the human beings are human, they are not capable of comprehending completely. However, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with a characteristic, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Him with any characteristic, it is our responsibility merely to believe in it. As the Shaykh says here, that we must believe in it, in those names and characteristics, and we must pass over them, just as they have come to us, without explaining the how of them. Not trying to explain how is Allah's face, or how are Allah's hands, but only accepting it as it is. How is Allah's power, or Allah's knowledge? It is accepting it just as it is, without trying to explain the how of it. Because the how of it is the reality of it. And that is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this is, yani believing in these names and characteristics and accepting them just as they are without trying to explain the how of it. It is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined these two matters, that is the confirmation or affirmation of His names and characteristics and the negation of the how of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated them in a number of places in the Quran. From amongst them, He has mentioned the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Taha, chapter 20, verse 110, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. This ayat has been interpreted by the scholars of tafsir in more than one way. However, the Shaykh, he is using it according to the tafsir of Al-Imam Al-Tabari, the Imam of the scholars of tafsir, and other scholars of the later day scholars like Al-Imam Al-Shawkani. They have interpreted it in the way that the Shaykh has used it here. And that is, and also the scholars have explained the beginning of the ayat as well as the end of the ayat in different ways. Some of them said, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, that it means Allah, He knows what is in front of them. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, and what is behind them. Some of them said, He knows what is in front of them, meaning this, the affairs of this world. And the other scholars said the opposite. It means the matters of the next life. What will happen on the judgment day? And what is behind them, some of them said it means in the next life, and some of the other scholars said it means in this life. In any case, the point here is that Allah knows what is in front of them and what is behind them. Yani He knows all of their affairs, whether in this world or in the next life. وَلَا يُحَيْتُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Some of the scholars have interpreted this part of the ayat as meaning that they cannot encompass Allah in their knowledge. They cannot encompass Allah in their knowledge. And some of the other scholars said that it means that they cannot encompass this knowledge, the knowledge that Allah has of His creatures, of everything that is before them and everything that is behind them. In any case, the meaning that the Shaykh intends here is that the creatures of Allah, they are not able to encompass their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by their knowledge. Their knowledge is limited. So it is not capable of understanding everything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what he has used it here for. And that is what many of the scholars like Al-Imam Al-Tabari have interpreted it. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ, that they cannot encompass Allah. They cannot encompass him ilma through their knowledge. They cannot understand the whole or the reality or the totality of Allah and the matters related to Allah, yani his names and his characteristics and so on, by their knowledge. Then the Shaykh mentioned the ayat that is commonly used by most of the scholars of Sunnah concerning the affirmation and the negation, the affirmation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has these characteristics which he has described himself or these names, and the negation of asking the how of them. Yani in the first ayat, the how, the encompassing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the human being is not capable of doing so. Therefore, we do not try to explain the how of it, but whatever Allah has informed us about himself, we accept it just as it is understood in the Arabic language. In this ayat from Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is nothing like him while he is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates that there's anything like him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, there's nothing like Allah. Therefore, we shouldn't try to explain anything concerning the characteristics of Allah, the how of them, or the reality, or the nature of them. But we only know the outward meaning that is understood in the language. He said, even though there's nothing like him, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, but he affirms that Allah is As-Sami'u, that one of his names is As-Sami'u, the one who is all-hearing, and whose hearing encompasses everything, and he is Al-Basir, the one who is all-seeing, and his sight encompasses everything. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 103, لا يدركه الأبصار, that the sight of the creatures cannot encompass Allah, وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ, but Allah, he encompasses yani all sight and everything that exists, وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ, and he is the most kind and the one who is well aware, all aware, or well acquainted with all things. So these ayats show that while Allah knows everything and has power over everything, that this cannot be affirmed for the creatures. It is affirmed for Allah and negated for the creatures. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be comprehended completely. The how or the nature or the reality of Allah's characteristics cannot be understood by the human beings. But we understood the outward meanings of them. Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim, he is yani bountiful and merciful, then we understand the outward meaning of it. Then the Shaykh said that there are other ayats similar to this in meaning, showing the Tawheed, showing this aspect of Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, yani that it requires affirmation of what Allah has said about himself and the negation of the how of it. Then he mentioned from the Sunnah, the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is reported by At-Tirmidhi from Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, that the mushrikeen, they said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned their false gods, they said, describe to us the ancestry of your Lord. What is the nasab, the ancestry of your Lord? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed concerning this question from the pagans, he revealed, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, say Allah, he is Ahad, he is one, unique. There's nothing like him. Allahu Samad, that Allah is self-sufficient. And he is the one that has no need of anyone or anything, while everything is in need of him. And that As-Samad, it is the one who لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, the one who does not give birth, nor was he given birth to. Yani he doesn't give birth to anything, nor was he born. And here in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the reasoning behind this, it is because there's nothing which is born except that it must die. Everything that comes into this world that is given birth to, it has to die. And there's nothing that dies except that it is inherited, that it leaves behind something that others will inherit, that others will take what they own. It will be left behind to others. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not befitting of him. Allah doesn't die and Allah is not inherited. Yani Allah owns everything in the heavens and the earth, and no one can inherit it because Allah does not die. Then he finished the end of the surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, and there is no one or nothing that is equal or comparable or similar to him. There is no one or nothing in existence that is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this means that he doesn't have any shabi, anyone who is similar to him, nor any adil, anyone that is equal to him. وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, and there is nothing that is like him. And this hadith, it is حَسَن لِغَيْرِهِ, yani meaning that even though it has some weaknesses in the chain of narrators, however there are other supporting narrations which raise it up to the degree of being acceptable. Again, the Shaykh continues with this topic of the Asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the names of Allah. And in question number 52, he asks, what is the proof, what is the evidence for the beautiful names from the Qur'an, from the Kitab and the Sunnah, from the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, what is the evidence or the proof that there are beautiful names that belong to Allah alone? And he mentioned a number of proofs. From amongst them is Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 70, verse 180. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى, that the Asma al-Husna, the beautiful names, they belong to Allah. They exclusively the right of Allah. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, therefore supplicate to him by his names. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, and leave alone those who belie or deny or deviate, who deviate concerning the names of Allah. Yani who reinterpret them or distort their meanings. Then he mentioned also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 110. قُلْ عُدُؤُ اللَّهِ أَعُدُؤُ الرَّحْمَانِ أَيَّن مَا تَدَعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call on Allah or call on Ar-Rahman. Yani call on him by the name Allah or call on him by the name Ar-Rahman. Whichever one you call on him by, فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى, then indeed the beautiful names, they belong to him alone. And in these two ayats, there is a point that should be noted, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to call on him by his names. يعني وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, the beautiful names belong to Allah, therefore call on him by them. And this is one of the things that Al-Alama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned concerning the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that is coming, that Allah has 99 names. From amongst his many names, he has 99 names, which whoever ahsaha, whoever preserves them or protects them or understands their meanings and their indications and calls on Allah by them, then they will enter the paradise. In this ayat, it is clear that what Allah intends from these names is that a person should know their meanings, that we should know Allah's names, and we should know their meanings and what they indicate, and we should supplicate to him by them. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Taha, chapter 20, verse 8, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa lahu al-asma al-husna, that Allah, there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except him, and the beautiful names belong to him alone. And he said that there are other ayats similar. And then he goes to mention some of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The first of them is the hadith which is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. Whoever, yani, whoever memorizes them and knows them and understands their meanings and supplicates them, as the scholars explain the meaning of ihsa in this way, and that is the best of the interpretations of it. Man ahsaha, it is not merely whoever memorizes them, but whoever identifies them and knows their meanings and supplicates to Allah by them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever does so will enter the Jannah. Alaykum as-salam. The Shaykh said this hadith is in the Sahih, and indeed it is in Al-Sahihain, Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Then he mentioned the hadith which proves that the names of Allah are not limited to 99, as might be understood by some from this hadith that Allah has 99 names. And whoever understands their meanings and supplicates Allah by them, they will enter the Jannah. Many of the people understand from this hadith that Allah's names are limited to 99. However, in the hadith reported by Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, and by others, Al-Hakim and Al-Mustadrak and others, they have reported the hadith, which shows that Allah's names are unlimited. They are not limited to 99, but what is meant here is that Allah has many names. From amongst them, there are 99. That whoever enumerates them, preserves them, memorizes them, understands their meaning and supplicates to Allah by them, then that person would be entitled to enter the paradise. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَسْأَلُكَ اللَّهُمَا بِكُلِّ إِسْمْ هُوَ لَكَ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ أَوْ أَنزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ أَن تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمَ رَبِيَ قَلْبِي. The Prophet ﷺ supplicated with this dua, that I ask you, O Allah, by every name that belongs to you, بِكُلِّ إِسْمْ هُوَ لَكَ, every name that belongs to you, I supplicate you and I call on you by every name that belongs to you. سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ, that you have named yourself with, every name that Allah has named Himself with. أَوْ أَنزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ, or every name that you have revealed in your book. Yani some of the names of Allah He have revealed in the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ said, the names that you have revealed in your book. أَوْ عَلَّمْتُهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ, or every name that you have taught anyone from amongst your creatures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may have taught some of the prophets and messengers some names that are not in the Qur'an. And He has taught the angels some names that are not in the Qur'an. He might select a special one, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give him some names that the other people don't know, even the angels and prophets. He said, every name that you have revealed in your book, and every name that you have taught even one from amongst your creatures, though no one else may know it. أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ, or that which you have kept preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with yourself. Yani that no one knows. It is not in the Qur'an, and none of the creatures know it, but it is with Allah alone, in the ilm al-ghayb, in the unseen knowledge. It is with Allah alone. So the names of Allah, the scholars said, based on this hadith, they are divided into three types. That which is revealed in the book, in the Qur'an, and that which Allah has taught to some of His creatures, whether prophets or angels or otherwise, and that which Allah has kept preserved for Himself in the knowledge of the unseen and no one knows them. Therefore it is clear that the names of Allah are unlimited. There is no limit to them and no one knows those names which He has kept in the knowledge of the unseen. However, there are 99 names that the people may know. They are in the Quran and they are in the authentic Sunnah. Whoever knows those 99 names, who memorized them and understood their meanings and worship Allah by them, specifically by supplicating Allah by those names, then this person will enter the Jannah. He said, I call on you by all of these names that you make the great, the supreme, the glorious Quran as the Rabi' Qalbi, yani as the spring or the life of my heart. In this hadith, it was declared to be sahih by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. And before him, Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak said that it was sahih, and Al-Imam al-Zahabi kadhalik also agreed with that ruling that the hadith is sahih. So, yani these are some of the proofs that Allah has special names that are al-Asma al-Husna, that are particular to Him, and that no one else shares with Him in that which is the meaning or the essence of those names to the degree of perfection as they are applied to Allah, the Lord of the world. In question number 53, the Shaykh says, مَا مِثَالُ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Here he mentions a number of examples. He said, what is the example of the beautiful names from the Qur'an? And after this, he mentions also what are an example or examples of the beautiful names from the Sunnah. So he mentions a number of names. In question number 53, he gave a large number of ayats that are examples of the Asma al-Husna, the beautiful names that are mentioned in the Qur'an. We should just make a note that the names of Allah, knowing the names of Allah and distinguishing those names from that which are not from the names of Allah, requires some investigation, because not everything that Allah is described with is a name, and not every action that Allah performs can be used to make a name for Allah. Like we know that Allah descends in the last third of the night to Sama Dunya, the heaven of this world, but we don't call Allah by the name An-Nazil. Allah yanzil, but we don't say his name is Nazil, okay? So not every action that Allah is described with means that that is his name. So when we talk about the names of Allah, we have to be careful to know that not everything that he is described with is of his names, his Asma'ul Husna. In any case, the Shaykh gives a large number of examples here, which we will go through as quickly as possible. The references, inshallah, should be with you, so we will not take too much time with it. First, he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 34, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. That indeed Allah, he is Ali. That is one of the names of Allah, Ali, the Most High, Kabir, the Most Great. From Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 34, the saying of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. That verily Allah, he is Latif. Yani he is kind and he is khabir, well acquainted, yani aware of everything. From also from Surah Al-Fatir, chapter 35, verse 44, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. That indeed, نعم. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, it is here, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. If somebody has a mushaf, can you check the ayat? It says, إِنَّهُ وَإِنَّ اللَّهِ. But in the text of the book he has, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. That verily indeed, he is alim, yani the one who is all-knowing, qadir, the one who is all-powerful, has power over everything. Then he mentioned from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 58, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. That indeed Allah, he is sami'. Yani the one who is all hearing, basir, the one who is all seeing. Innahu? Tayyib. In some of the copies of the book, it has Inna Allah, in some of the Arabic texts of the book, but in any case, the ayat, it is Innahu. Naam. Okay, after that, he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 56, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. From the names of Allah, that verily Allah is Aziz, mighty, Hakim, wise. And likewise, from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 23, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. That indeed Allah is Ghafoor, forgiving, and Rahim, merciful. Keeping in mind that these names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named himself with, they are not merely names, like the names of the creatures. Somebody's name might be Rahim, but he might not be merciful. But Allah's names, if Allah is named with a name indeed, the characteristic or description that that name entails, Allah is also described by it. When Allah says he is Alim, it is not merely a name that he is called by, but it is also an indication that he has ilm, that he has knowledge, that he has the perfect knowledge. So all of these names, they are not only names, but they also are indications of the characteristics or the qualities of Allah that are derived from those names. Yani from Ar-Rahman, you derive Rahmah, mercy. Allah is the merciful. So also, we know that Allah is, that as a characteristic or quality, we can say that Allah is merciful. That Allah is Al-Aziz, that He is the mighty. Therefore, Izzah, that Allah, He has power. And we know that Allah is power and might and so on. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 117, إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ رَعُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. That indeed Allah, He is to His servants. He is with them رَعُوفٌ, yani compassionate or full of kindness, رَحِيم, merciful. Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 263, وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌ حَلِيمٌ. That indeed Allah is غَنِي, He is rich. Allah is free of need. He has no need of anything. Allah is the one who owns and possesses everything. And He is Halim, the one who is forbearing. And from Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 73, إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. That indeed Allah is Hamid, praiseworthy, Majid, glorious. And from Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 57, إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَفِيظٌ. That indeed my Lord, He is the guardian over everything, Hafiz. This is also from the names of Allah. And from Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 61, إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. That indeed my Lord is Qareeb, He is near. Yani near, near by His knowledge, and near by His sight, and near by His hearing and His power. Allah is above the seven heavens, but He is near. Qareebun means He is near because He sees and He hears and He knows and He has power over everything. And that way it is just as the one who is near to you. Allah is Qareebun Mujib. Yani He is the one who answers or responds when we call on Him. From Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 1, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. That indeed, or verily, Allah, He is a watcher over you, raqib, the one who monitors or watch over His creatures. Allah is watching us, therefore a person should be conscious of what they say and what they do. On Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 81, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَقِيلًا. And Allah is sufficient as a waqeel, yani as the one who is entrusted with one's affairs, to dispose of them, to take care of one's affair. Whoever put their affairs in the hands of Allah, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَقِيلًا. Allah is sufficient as the one to dispose of one's affairs. Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 6, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. And Allah is sufficient as Hasib, as the one who takes account. Allah is sufficient in taking account. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 85, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. And this expression, or this name, مُقِيت, the scholars differ about the meaning of it. And you might find in different translations, different meanings. Al-Imam Al-Tabari, he said that it has been said that مُقِيت, it means قَدِير. That Allah is muqeet over everything, it means He is qadir, yani He has power over everything. He said that also it is said that Ibn Abbas and Atta and Qatada said it means hafiz, that Allah is over everything hafiz, He is the one who yani protects and preserves everything. And Mujahid, yani from amongst the scholars of the Tabi'een, he said muqeet, it means shaheedan. In some of the narrations he said hasiban. Any, all of these are possible meanings of the word muqeet, that Allah is over everything hafizan, the one who guards everything, as Ibn Kathir mentioned. And Taburi said, yani, that some of them said it is qadir, that He has power over everything. In some of the books it is said that Mujahid said, shaheedan hasiban, that Allah is a witness over everything, and He is hasiban, the one who takes account over everything. So you can see that some of these names have a great comprehensive meaning. Yani Allah has power over everything, and He is the witness over everything, and takes account over everything, and He is the one who protects and preserves everything. Indeed, the books that explain the names of Allah require study in order to know the real meanings of the names of Allah and the greatness of these names. After that, he mentioned from Surah Al-Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 53, أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ, that Allah is a witness over everything. Shaheed. And these names, if anyone would think about the meaning of these names, that Allah is witnessing everything, then it would be a means of getting near. Allah is Shaheed. Allah is a witness to everything. And it is being recorded by His angels, and people will be called to account on Yawmul Qiyamah. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 54, إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطٍ, that Allah encompasses or surrounds everything. Nothing escapes from His any knowledge and His power. And here in my copy, one of the ayats that the Shaykh has mentioned from some of the other copies, I have found that there is an ayat mentioned here. It is not in this copy. It is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 255, and from Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 2. And that is the saying, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. That Allah, He is the one whom there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Him. And He is al-hayyul al-qayyum, the one who has perfect life, who is ever living. And He is al-qayyum, the self-subsisting, the one who doesn't have any need for His substance or subsistence, doesn't have any need of anyone or anything, while everything relies upon Him for their subsistence. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 3, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, that Allah, He is al-awwal, that is the first, there is nothing before Him. والآخر, he is the last, there is nothing after him. والظاهر, that is the most high, he is above everything, there is nothing above him. والباطن, he is the most near, there is nothing nearer than him. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, and he has knowledge over everything. These names of Allah, really, if the Muslims, the true believers, reflect on them, it is a means of knowing Allah. It is the greatest knowledge, the knowledge of Asma wa Sifat, it is the greatest knowledge. Because actually it brings the believer in contact with their Lord. It makes the person to know, who is it? Who is it that they are worshipping? Who is it that we are worshipping? If we know Allah's names and we understand their meanings, and we reflect upon them, and then act in accordance with them, it will make us to know the greatness of Allah, the one whom we are worshipping. Then he mentioned the saying, that the last ayat he mentioned from Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59, verses 22 through 24, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. That he is Allah, the one whom there is nothing that should be worshipped or has the right to be worshipped except him. And he is the one who knows the ghayb, alimul ghayb. He knows the unseen, wa-shahada, and that which is seen. وَهُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ, he is the beneficent and he is the merciful. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, he is the one, Allah, that nothing should be worshipped besides him. Al-Malik, the king. Al-Quddus, the one who is holy. As-Salam, the one who is free from defects. Some of the translators have translated As-Salam as the peace or the source of peace. However, most of the scholars of Sunnah have given the meaning of As-Salam as being similar or close to Al-Quddus, meaning the one who is free from any imperfection or any shortcoming or any defects. He is Al-Mu'min, yani the one who grants security or gives security to the believers. Al-Muhaymin, the one who watches over them. Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, the one who is mighty and the compeller. Al-Mutakabbir, the one who is supreme. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. And this is, again, as we mentioned on a number of occasions, Subhanallah, it is the declaration of Tasbih, the declaration of Allah being perfect and free from any imperfections that has been ascribed to him by the mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah. Huwa Allah al-Khaliqu, al-Bari'u, al-Musawwir, lahu al-Asma al-Husna, that Allah, he is the Khaliq, the Creator. And again, these names, al-Khaliqu, al-Bari'u, al-Musawwiru, these names are also similar in meaning, however there are fine differences between them. That Allah is the Creator, the one who brings things into existence, and the one who molds or shapes or forms them. لَهُ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى, and all of the beautiful names belong to Him. So these are some of the names, the beautiful names, الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى, that are mentioned in the Qur'an. Some of the scholars, like Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he said that in one of the rules that he gave for tafsir of the Qur'an, he said that he has identified more than 80 of the beautiful names of Allah in the Qur'an itself. And then he has given some rules applicable to those names, how to understand them, and how to apply them, and how to benefit from them. And other scholars have looked in the Sunnah and found also a large number of hadith. And some of them have counted the number of names of Allah that they have identified as being from Al-Asma Al-Husna, as being far beyond, well above, yani 99 names. Jazakallah khair. Okay, the last question that we will take in the minutes that are remaining, it is question number 54. Give an example of the beautiful names of Allah from the Sunnah. And he mentions the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim. There is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah al-azim, the supreme, al-halim, the one who is forbearing. La ilaha illallah Rabbul Ash al-Azim. There is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, the Lord of the majestic or the glorious throne, al-Arsh al-Azim. La ilaha illallah Rabbul Samawati wa Rabbul Ard wa Rabbul Ash al-Kareem. That there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and He is the Lord of the heavens and the Lord of the earth and the Lord of the noble throne. And here we should note that the arsh of Allah is different from the kursi of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the kursi in the Qur'an, and he mentions the arsh, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he described the kursi of Allah as being the place of the two feet of Allah, mawdi al-qadamain, that it is the what may be described, as some of the translators have described it, as the footstool of Allah. the Kursi and the Arsh are two different creations, two of the great creations of Allah, and the greatness of the Arsh over the Kursi, as it has been described in our authentic hadith, is equal to the greatness of the Kursi in comparison to a small metal ring that is thrown in an open desert. The greatness of the Kursi over that ring is equal to the greatness of the Arsh over the Kursi. Yani the Arsh of Allah is greater than the Kursi as much as the Kursi which extends over the heavens and the earth. If it were compared to a small metal ring thrown in the desert, how much greater is the Kursi which extends over the heavens and the earth than that small metal ring thrown in the desert? The Prophet ﷺ said that no one knows the greatness of the Arsh of Allah. It is greater than the Kursi in that way. In the same way that the Kursi is greater than a small metal ring thrown in the desert. The Prophet ﷺ also mentioned in the hadith, his saying, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, Ya Badi As-Samawati Wal Ard. He called on Allah by these names, the one who is all living, the self-subsisting, the one who possessed the majesty and the honor, and the one who is the originator of the heavens and the earth. Then he mentioned the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, Bismillah, Alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. In the name of Allah, the one who la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'. It is Allah who nothing can harm anyone, nothing in the heavens and the earth can harm anyone along with his name, ma'ismihi. Whoever mentions the name of Allah, then Allah's name is sufficient to protect you from the harm of anything in the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Then he mentioned the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, اللَّهُمَّ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَاتِرُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَلِيكَ. O Allah, the one who is the knower of the unseen and the seen, the one who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the Lord of everything, and the owner of everything. And that hadith, it is also sahih, like the one before it, declared sahih by Shaykh al-Albani and Jami' al-Saghir, both of them. And then he mentioned also a number of other supplications, and in the meaning of them, that he called on Allah saying, O Allah, the Lord of the heavens, the seven heavens, and the Lord of the supreme or the great majestic throne, our Lord and the Lord of everything, the one who split the grain and who split the date stone, the one who revealed the Torah and the Injil and the Quran, he said, I seek refuge in you from the evil of every creature that possess evil, that you are the one who controls or has hold over their forelock, yani controlling that creature. And then he said, mentioning some of the names of Allah and the interpretation of those names that are mentioned in the previous ayat in the Quran, أنت الأول فليس قبلك شيء. You are the الأول, the first, and there's nothing before you. وأنت الآخر فليس بعدك شيء. And you are the last, and there's nothing after you. وأنت الظاهر فليس فوقك شيء. And you are the ظاهر, the most high, there's nothing above you. وأنت الباطن فليس دونك شيء. And you are the one that is most near, and there's nothing nearer than you. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim and others. And finally, he mentioned the saying, the supplication, Allahumma laka alhamd, anta nuru samawati wal ard wa man fihinna. O Allah, for you is the praise, and you are the nur, the light of the heavens and the earth, and whatever or whoever exists in them. Wa laka alhamd, anta qayyumu samawati wal ard wa man fihinna. And the praise belongs to you, you are the sustainer of the heavens and the earth, and whatever or whoever is in them. And then he mentioned another supplication, that is also an authentic supplication. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah. And this is a supplication. It is a great supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, O Allah, inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah. I ask you based on the fact, bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah, based on the fact that I testify that you are Allah. Bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah. Every Muslim testifies that Allah is the only one that should be worshipped. He said, I ask you, I request from you, based on this shahada, La ilaha illa anta, there's nothing that should be worshipped except you, Al-Ahad, Al-Samad, the one who is unique, Al-Samad, the one who is self-sufficient, and that all are in need of, Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad, the one who doesn't give birth nor was born, and the one whom there is no one equal or comparable to him. Finally, he mentioned the supplication, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, and this hadith is a very important supplication that a Muslim should memorize and use every day. Ya muqallib al-qulub. O the one who turns the hearts, who controls the hearts. Thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Make my heart firm on your deen. Every Muslim is subject to slip or to fall or to turn away or to deviate. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is our example, he taught us to ask Allah, the one who controls the hearts, whose between his fingers are the hearts of every human being. He said, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Make my heart to be firm on your deen. Every one of us should supplicate with this supplication as much as possible. And here he mentioned the hadith, the completion of this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to supplicate with this supplication. And Salama radiallahu anha, she said to him, O Messenger of Allah, oh, how much you supplicate with this supplication, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. He said, Ya Salama, indeed there is no human being except that his heart is between the two fingers, two of the fingers of the fingers of Allah. Yani the hadith is sahih. The Prophet ﷺ said that there is no human being except that his heart is between two of the fingers, usbu'ain min asabi Allah. So whoever Allah wills, he makes them upright, and whoever Allah wills, he caused them to deviate or to stray. It is indeed a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we hear the adhan, the call to prayer, and that we are able to respond to it and pray in the masjid in jama'ah. And listening to the adhan, it has reminded me that there are some people who have been denied the hearing of the adhan. In some countries, the Muslims were not allowed to pray publicly, and they didn't hear the adhan for centuries. And yesterday I was listening to the radio, and there's a sheikh who is well known for traveling around the world, and he used to record his trips and the people that he met and the things that he has seen. And he mentioned that he went to Mongolia on a trip, an official trip from the government of Saudi Arabia, and he said that they were boasting to him that how many people have performed Hajj from their area at that time when it was first opened, when they were allowed to worship Allah again after being under the rule of the communists. He said, from our area, five people have performed Hajj. Five. Five people from the whole country, from thousands of people, five people have performed Hajj, which is an indication of what they have been subjected to, the oppression. And we are listening to the adhan, but perhaps not appreciating the favor of Allah, that He has given us freedom to worship Allah, to hear the adhan and to respond to the adhan and to pray in the jama'ah. But we should know that there are those who would not like this freedom to continue. So a Muslim should appreciate that which Allah has given. Because if we are not thankful for it, maybe He will take it from us. And it is not far-fetched. Don't imagine that the enemies of Islam are pleased that the adhan is being called. Today it is being called, maybe tomorrow it will not be called. I used to think that it is not possible, but no longer do I imagine such. If we don't appreciate what Allah has given us, maybe He will take it away. In closing, the hadith that we have mentioned, I just want to make a comment on this hadith, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that he used to supplicate, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. In that hadith, it is reported that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Salama, innahu laysa adami illa wa qalbuhu bayna usbu'aini min asabi' Allah. فَمَنْ شَاءَ أَقَامَ وَمَنْ شَاءَ زَاغَ. That there is no human being except that their heart is between two of the fingers of Allah. Whoever Allah wills, He caused them to be straight or to be upright, their heart. He caused their heart to be upright. And whoever Allah wills, He caused it to deviate or to go astray. At that point, Mu'adh, he used to say, he used to read the ayat that is in agreement with this, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. That, O our Lord, لا تزغ قلوبنا, do not cause our hearts to go astray. Do not cause our hearts to deviate after you have guided us. Don't imagine that after you have been guided that you cannot go astray. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us this supplication for a reason. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has supplicated with this supplication for a reason. يا مقلب القلوب ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِ عَلَى دِينِكَ. For a reason. Because the believer is subject to go astray. Allah, He might cause a person's heart to go astray according to His will, because He knows who appreciates and who is thankful for the guidance that He has given them. So He ordered us to supplicate to Him, to say, O our Lord, do not cause our hearts to deviate after You have guided us. If you don't know it, there are many people who have been guided and they have gone astray. If you didn't know them or you didn't see them, know for sure it has happened. And it is happening every day. So we should take advantage of what we have and appreciate it and ask Allah to keep our hearts firm on His deen and to keep our hearts from deviating, not to cause us to deviate after He has guided us, but to keep us on the path until we die on Islam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions or any comments, just quickly, if there's one or two questions, then perhaps we should take a question or any comment or any correction. Brother has a question now.
You said that Allah has unlimited names. Some of them we don't know of. Name something or someone. We understand that future person or not another person. In other words, if you name someone, knowing that you're not saying he's Al-Khawi, say that you name a child Khawi. Knowing clearly that you're not saying that he's Allah, but that he has attributes.
No.
Since he had
Al-Khawi,
or Storm Al-Khawi.
No.
Because that name means strong.
No.
And Qadir means powerful.
No.
You can use those names in describing other things.
No.
But is it permissible to do that?
Is it permissible to name somebody with the names of Allah? It's permissible to name someone with the names that Allah has named Himself with. Either, and that which is preferable, is that the person should be named with Abd. Yani Abdul Qawi, Abdul Azim, Abdul Alim, Abdul Hakim, Abdul Rahman. That is what is proper for a Muslim. That he is the servant of Allah who is Al-Alim, Al-Qawi, Al-Aziz. That is what is proper. And some of the names of Allah, it is permissible to use it without the definite article, the Alif Lam. If you say that somebody is Rahim or that they are Aziz, it is permissible, Wallahu A'lam. However, the Muslim, what is expected from the Muslim is that they should name themselves as the servant of Allah. That is what is expected. And that is what is more proper.
Well, some people do the truth in the name of Rashid. They won't form a form of document saying Rashid. They know it's Abu Rashid.
In any case, it is better to say that the person is Abdul Alim. Otherwise, whatever they intend, Allah judges according to intentions. But the main thing is that we shouldn't use the name with the definite article. We shouldn't say somebody's name is Al-Alim. Al-Alim. But we should say Abdul Alim. Wallahu A'lam. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. It is legislated to do it like this.
Salaam alaikum. Quickly, huh? The first ayah?
Okay, inshallah. Sisters had a couple of questions, just quickly. One of them, is it permissible to say, as some books suggest, to mention the name of Allah 1,000 times or some number of times? It is not proper to do so. Indeed, it is innovation, unless there is a proof. Because mentioning the name of Allah is ibadah. So if a person says you should say the name of Allah a specific number of times, if somebody says the name of Allah any number of times without intending that it would be 1,000 or 555 or some special number that is supposed to bring about some results, then as much as you want to say the name of Allah, you can say it. But if you identify a certain number that this is something that will bring a result, then this is incorrect unless there is a proof for it. Unless there is a proof for it. As far as the mercy of Allah, that Allah's mercy encompasses everything, the sisters asked the question, does this also include the kafirs? Indeed, Allah's mercy, it covers the kafirs in this world. Allah has mercy even on the kafirs. However, in the next life, there will be no mercy for them. Yani the mercy of Allah, in the next life, it will be exclusively for the believers. In this world, it is from the mercy of Allah that the kafirs are breathing the air that belongs to Allah alone, and that they are eating the food that comes from the earth of Allah. Because these things, Allah has made it for the believers. So it is from Allah's rahmah that He allows them to eat from it, and to drink that water, and to breathe that air, which they don't have a right to as long as they are living in this earth, and they are not worshipping Allah alone. Allahu alam.